Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Take your Bible tonight, please. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible over in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter number 22 and verse number 8. The word Deuteronomy translates from the Hebrew that means second law. You remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt on the journey to the promised land at Mount Sinai, God gave the people the law. The part of it that we're most familiar with is the Ten Commandments, but there was much more than that, but we're familiar with the Ten Commandments. 40 years later, when the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land, God repeated the law because an old generation had died off, and God wanted the new generation to know His Word. And so just before the children of Israel were to enter into the land of Canaan and go to the city of Jericho, where God gave them the great victory and so forth, God repeated the law for them. And so that's what we have in the book of Deuteronomy. It is primarily God's repeating for a new generation His law. So that's the meaning of the title Deuteronomy. If you found your place in Deuteronomy chapter number 22, look please tonight at verse number 8. The scripture says, "When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence." And so this evening, for a few moments, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and what it tells us about the roof, Doctor. Let's pray together. Father, I pray tonight that You would use me to bring Your Word. I pray tonight that You'll help me to bring Your Word in truth. I ask that You'd give us practical applications to see how Your Word is to be applied to our lives. And Father, I pray that You would give us a heart to love You and to love Your Word and desire to be obedient to what You command us here in Your Word. And I ask You tonight for the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. On Saturday mornings when I'm shaving and brushing my teeth and getting ready for the day, oftentimes I turn on the radio to WSB 95.5 and listen to a housing show that comes on. Some of you may listen to it. And the basic idea is to talk to people about how to either build a house or to do maintenance jobs on their house, how to fix various kinds of plumbing problems, electrical problems, that kind of thing. And from time to time, they have sponsors that they mention on the radio program. And one that intrigues me, I like the advertisement. I've never done business with the people, but I think they've got a good name, is a business here called The Roof Doctor. And you can guess what The Roof Doctor does. He repairs roofs, he constructs roofs, and that kind of thing. And so I was thinking about what I hear on that Fix-It show on Saturday mornings, and I thought about this verse of Scripture, "When thou buildest a new house, thou shalt build a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence." And there are two things that stand out in this verse. Number one, you notice it talks about the construction for the protection involved in this roof. It says here, "When thou buildest a new house, thou shalt make a battlement." All right, we need to understand that in Bible times, when the houses were built, most of them had flat roofs. And most of the time, those flat-roofed houses would have on the outside of the house either a ladder or some type of stairs by which the occupants could go up to the roof of that house. And lo and behold, on the roof there were accommodations for living. If you wanted to go up there and if you wanted to have your meals up there, or if you wanted to just rest, if you wanted to look out over your town or over your city there, these roofs were furnished there. And so the Bible talks to us here about the construction, and it gives us here the builder's code, so to speak, of this particular roof. It says, for your protection, build what's called in the middle of the verse here, a battlement. The battlement here speaks of a low wall of protection, or it speaks of a low wall, a type of railing that goes about, so that if someone went up on the roof there for whatever purpose they were there, when a person went up, they wouldn't get overbalanced and fall off the house. And so it tells us here about the construction for the protection here on this roof. And it also talks to us then about the cause of the protection. It says in the latter part of verse 8, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. The cause for the protection is really obvious here. This railing protected people from falling off the roof and getting injured or being killed, being harmed by doing that. If you remember when you read through the Old Testament, King Ahaziah, the king of Israel, northern kingdom, the scripture says in 2 Kings chapter number 1, fell from the roof of his house. Evidently, what was prescribed here in scripture, what was commanded, either was ignored, or when they built the battlement or the railing, the structure, the fence-like structure on the top of the house, they built it poorly if they built it at all. And so there was a king of Israel who died because he fell off the roof of his house. And so the scripture talks to us here about a roof. When the scripture gives us this, I hope that you see the purpose of it is this is not only the immediate case to keep someone from falling off the roof. But the Lord is also using this as a picture. The Lord is using this to teach us a principle about our home life. And He's telling us how to build our homes in order that our homes avoid tragedy, how that they have the blessing of the Lord. One well-known evangelist has estimated that as many as 90% of homes in America tonight are unhappy homes. Isn't that a tragedy if that's the case? I don't know if his estimate is right or not, but wouldn't that be a tragedy tonight if 90% of the homes in America were unhappy homes? It does not have to be that way. The scripture says that we can build battlements for our home. We can build, as it were, these instruments for the protection of our home, of the relationships in our home, so that we can have God's blessing instead of having ruin in our homes. And so this evening, I'd like to share with you just a few of the scripture battlements, if you would, that need to be put in place in our homes. The first one is alluded to in the Gospel of Matthew, so I'll ask you to go with me to the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 19, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 3. And I believe here the scripture is talking to us about the battlement of commitment. Commitment, I believe, is a most important trait of a strong and joyful and happy home life. Now, if you found your place in your Bible, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 3, the scripture says, the Pharisees also came to him, that is, they came to Jesus, tempting him. They're trying to provoke the Lord, trying to test the Lord, trying to find something that would bring failure into the Lord's ministry here. It says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he, the Lord, answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now, we could just stop right here tonight and dwell on that, and that would work. That would be a message our society needs tonight. God created two sexes. God created male and female. There is no such thing. Listen to me tonight. There is no such thing as a transgender. That is a lie that came from Satan. There's no such thing. Every one of us, the moment we were conceived, and they say, follow the science. Okay, we'll follow the science. Every one of us, when we're conceived, has either XX or XY chromosomes. And that means that we're either male or we're female. That's in our mother's womb. That's 9 months before we're birthed. God has given us either the male chromosomes or the female chromosomes, And there's nothing that you can do to change that. I reminded you last Sunday morning here, it doesn't how many shots you take. It doesn't how many bottles of pills you consume. It doesn't matter what kind of surgeries you have and what you cut off or what you add on. It's not going to change your sex. There is no such thing as a transgender, and that is a lie that Satan is trying to sell this generation and confuse their minds, because remember this, God is not the author of confusion. Then who must be? Who is the author of confusion? It's Satan. And Satan would confuse the minds and the hearts of our children, and that's exactly what's happening in the world tonight. And so the scripture says here, Jesus brought, and by the way, if you believe Jesus, if you believe He's the only begotten Son of God, then you'll just say amen right here. He said, we made the male and female. Amen. Made the male, that's closed to question right there. And verse number 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave. The word cleave means to join to. It means like using super glue. You ever gotten your finger stuck to your thumb with super glue? Folks, it's not a joy to get that apart. But that's the type word that's used here in the Greek. It means husbands, wives, we're to cleave to one another. He shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. The Lord Jesus here is talking about a battlement around our home life. And he begins with how you start a home. That's with a male and a female. That's with a man and a woman. And it's saying here that husbands and wives are to make a commitment to each other. And only death is to break that commitment here. We make that commitment in our family. We make it as a husband to a wife and a wife to the husband. And then when the Lord blesses our home with children, we make that commitment to our children as parents. And children ought to make that commitment to the parents, that we are committed to each other in this home relationship. If we're committed to the family, that means we put the family first. That means we put the family ahead of business. Talk to me. That means we put our family ahead of business. It means we put our family ahead of our social life. It means we put our family ahead of our hobbies. Boy, there's a cold breeze blowing through here right now. We put our family ahead of our hobbies. We put our family ahead of our personal wants and personal wishes. If we make a commitment, listen, if we're going to build a battlement around it, folks, we better have a battlement in this generation. Satan will rip our homes apart. He'll rip our homes apart, and we don't want that. We don't want the result of that. And so we need to put a value on our families, that we put the family first. Commitment to the family means that we work with and we support each member of the family in order to help him or her reach their potential for the Lord. That means in our home that if one of the other, husband, wife, is trying to finish their education, or they're trying to do better, get some more education there, we support them in their effort there as they seek to go forward there. If we have a spouse that's seeking to answer the call, if you're the wife in a home and your husband believes that God has called him to preach, you need to get behind him. You need to get behind your husband there. If he believes God has called him to preach and he needs to prepare for the ministry and do the work of the ministry, then you need to get behind him and support him there. If it's in the matter of your children being involved in some type of, if they're studying music, you need to get behind your children there and realize that you may have to make personal sacrifices in order to further what God is seeking to do in the life of your child. You make a commitment to your child. If it's in the matter of doing homework, and boy, we had a hard time on this because none of the Butler family got math genes. We did not get math genes. Oh my goodness. I remember staying after school. I remember going to the home of a teacher that taught math. I remember trying to find somebody that could teach me how to do algebra. And I never could speak it. Lo and behold, you find out it's some way of adding X's and Y's and Z's and so forth there. The Butlers did not get math genes. And so when our sons, Joel and Stephen, came along, we had to get some help to get the math done. If it had not been for Darla McHugh, I don't know how they would have gotten their high school diplomas. That's right. She helped several get through there. And so, but there needs to be a commitment in our family that we are committed to one another to help one another go forward in our lives. We're in this thing together. A commitment to the family means that we adopt a never quit, never give up attitude. We don't give up on each other in our home. We don't give up on each other in our family there. We're looking at what Jesus said about the family. Jesus laid the principle when he first talked about the husband-wife relationship in verse number 6. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That Jesus is talking about laying the foundation in your family life for a commitment to each other. That's one of the battlements there. Real quickly, take your Bible. Go with me, please, over to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. There's another piece of this battlement that needs to be constructed around our homes and in our home relationship. Not only should there be commitment in our homes, but there needs to be the expression of, or expressions, plural, of appreciation. Proverbs 31, I think, is my favorite chapter in the book of Proverbs. It, beginning in verse number 10, describes God's ideal woman. Many a time on our anniversary is Valentine's Day. Many a time I've signed my wife a card, and I'll say to my Proverbs 31 wife, because to me she exemplarizes Proverbs 31. But I want you to notice here in Proverbs 31, go with me down to verse number 28. It's extolling the value of a godly woman. It says, her children arise up and call her blessed. If your mother's still living, do not miss the opportunity to tell your mother that you appreciate her, the sacrifices that she has made for you. Do not fail, if your mother is living, to bless her. It may do more for her heart than you realize. It may encourage her more than you dream. But it says her children arise up and call her blessed. And look at this. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. If we would have homes that are protected from the attacks of Satan, there must be regular times of expression of appreciation in our home. Grateful recognition. There must be sensitivity. There must be awareness there in our homes to express that appreciation. There was a survey I read about that was done some time back. Some women were asked what they considered men's worst faults. And I want you to listen to this, men. According to this survey that was done among some women, they were asked what they considered their men's worst faults, and they said lack of appreciation was the most frequent response. And guys, that ought not to be. We need to let our wives know that we appreciate them. We need to let them know that we're thankful for them and thankful that God gave them to us. By the same token, wife, if you've got a godly husband, you need to express appreciation to him. And so these are battlements. The appreciation is a foundation stone in building a strong and a happy home life here. Real quickly, go with me. We're in the Old Testament there. Go with me over to the right a few pages to the book of the Song of Solomon. Would you look at the Song of Solomon with me in chapter number 2, verse number 14. We're building battlements for our home. We're seeking to follow the Lord's word and obey the Lord's word and build battlements of protection in our marriages and build them in the parent-child relationship, build them in the family relationships. The scripture tells us about it requires commitment to each other. It requires the sensitivity and the thoughtfulness of expressing appreciation one to another. But there's something else. In Song of Solomon, we see it in chapter 2 and verse number 14. It says, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Now look at this. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What's it telling us here about building a battlement? I believe it's telling us here, if we would build battlements around our marriages and homes, etc., there, we must spend time together. We must spend time together as husbands and wives, as parents and children. We must spend time together. I read about a church where that a layman stood up in a church service. They were having in the church there, that their church that week, they were calling it Christian Home Week. This layman stood up in the service and he held up the church bulletin and he asked a question, a legitimate question. He said, we have dedicated this to be Christian Home Week. And he said, at the same time, there are 35 different activities scheduled for our church this week. He said, when are we going to have time for our homes? If we've got 35 different functions trying to go on in our church in 1 week. And he had a point. He had a point. If we're going to build battlements around our marriages, around our homes, we've got to commit to spend time together. Healthy families make time to be together. There needs to be time we work together, we play together, we worship together, we serve together. We were talking the other night. Some of you have no clue what this is, but some of us remember back when we just got off the ark. Up here around Avondale, that area, there was a store called Treasure Island. Judy and I would go to Treasure Island even before we'd go on our date night, Friday night. We'd go to Treasure Island and just walk around the store. I mean, it was just about as good as going to Disney World for us. We'd walk around Treasure Island. Judy and I committed when we got married, 1976. They just had invented the car about that time. 1976. But we committed one night every week, we'll have date night. And one night a week was going to be our date night. That's what we're going to do. And then the Lord blessed us with our children. And it began to be Friday night was family night. And we'd do something together as a family. There must be time to get. Folks, listen, Satan had rather tear up your home than tear up anything you've got. Satan had rather destroy your home than anything you've got. And if we're going to fight the devil successfully, we've got to obey God's word. We've got to build some battlements. And one of the battlements I believe the scripture teaches is this thing of time together. I read about a pastor, and this particular pastor said that he'd look at his calendar and he'd see, and by the way, I still use the old-fashioned kind there. I don't trust myself with my telephone to put all that in there because I'll lose it. But I write down things that I'm supposed to do, make appointments and that kind of thing there. But this pastor was looking at his appointments there, and his children would ask him, well, Dad, can we do so-and-so? Dad, can we go this place? Dad, can we do that? And he would say, I've got an appointment. Can't do that. And he said, finally, one of his children said, Dad, can't we be in your book and be one of your appointments? Would you make an appointment with us? And the pastor said it changed his perspective on his home life and his relationship with his children. There must be time spent together if we're going to build a battlement there so that the Lord will break Satan's his grip upon our homes, his attempt to wreck our home lives. Real quickly here, and we won't go through all that the scripture tells us, but let's at least look at this one, Proverbs chapter number 1. Here's another one that the scripture tells us about. We've got the battlement of commitment. We've got the battlement of appreciation for one another. We've got the battlement of spending time together. But in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, there's another one here. It is the battlement of communication with one another in our family. Proverbs 1, verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety, prudence, to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now skip for the sake of time to verse number 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. What's it saying here? It's saying fathers communicate with your children. Mothers communicate with your children. If that's going to happen, it's got to start first with the husband and the wife. Husband and wives have got to communicate with each other. And then parents communicate with the children, and children communicate with the parents there. Communication is the act of expressing thoughts and ideas either through our speech or through what is written down. The scripture exalts this thing of communication in our personal relationships within the home. How long has it been since you felt that you really knew what your spouse was thinking? Something came up the other day, and Stephen said to me, he said, you know, sometimes I wonder when we think we know someone, do we really know them? Do we really know them? And folks, communication is essential between husbands and wives and parents and children. Communication that involves not only talking to but listening to what the other person has to say. Can't be one way. It's got to flow both ways. And here's the last one that I'll give you this evening. Go with me over to the book of Joshua, please, chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24, and many of you could quote this verse from Scripture, Joshua 24 and verse number 15. Here is another piece of the battlement to be built up around the roof of our homes. In Joshua 24, verse number 15, Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, who he's been leading into the promised land, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if for some way your thinking's gotten all messed up, and you think it's evil to serve the Lord, he said, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. That didn't work out. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. To build a battlement around our homes means that there has got to be intentional spiritual training going on in our homes. We've got to teach our children who the Lord is. We don't wait for somebody to come in and teach it in Sunday school. No, we start in our home. We've got to teach our children who the Lord is. We've got to teach our children that what God says to us, He says through His Word. We've got to teach our children the Scriptures. Not wait till you get to Sunday school, Bible fellowship, Word of Life, etc. No. We teach it in our home. We do the spiritual training. We start it in our home, the training of our children. It is essential here. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul exhorted the members of the church at Ephesus, saying, to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I was reading something Walter Knight had shared concerning an execution that took place out in the state of Utah. Out in the state of Utah, there were two condemned murderers that were about to be executed. And the night that the execution was to take place, both of these men, convicted murderers, wish to issue public statements. And I'm going to read you word for word what these men left in their statements. The principal cause for our failure in life was the lack of religious training in the home. We do not protest against the forfeiture of our lives. We are guilty of a most serious crime. For the sake of the record, however, we must say that we both came from broken homes. We grew up in neglect. We were left to shift for ourselves. We had no parental care, affection, and guidance. Religious training would have pointed us in the right direction, but godless, non-church-going parents led us away from Sunday school in the church. While in prison, we have tried to build up in our souls what was lacking, vital faith in God and forgiveness of our great sin by the Savior. This enables us to accept our punishment with trustful resignation. You think the lives of those two men could have been so different there if they had had spiritual training in their homes. Can I urge you tonight, if you have children in your home, redouble your efforts, rededicate your efforts to bring up your children with spiritual training. There needs to be a time of family altar. I've told you this so many times, you can repeat it from memory there. Judy and I started the week that we got married in 1976. We started our daily devotions together, our couple devotions there, and we kept a record. I can take you down to a corner of our basement where I have got notebook upon notebook upon notebook where that we wrote scriptures, and it tells you what date we were reading such and such scriptures in our Bible. And then later we began to write down at night not only the scriptures we're reading that night together, but what we praised the Lord for together that night. And we'd write down what we're praying for in our home on that particular night. Folks, there is no substitute in a home for spiritual training. There is no way around it. You cannot have a battlement to resist the power of Satan in the home unless you have a family altar together. We need to be in God's Word. And you see, the children can tell whether or not our walk with the Lord is real or not by our dedication to it. I've told you how that when our sons were dating, Joel was dating Lindsay and Stephen was dating Stacy, on Saturday nights, I mean, we have been to North Carolina to hear the Hayes family sing on a football field on a Saturday night. Judy had just had surgery about 2 days before that. But our son said, "We want to go to a gospel concert." We said, "Great." And so we go to North Carolina. We sit outdoors at a gospel concert. We're riding home down I-85. And I realized by the time that we drop off the girls at their house, the time we get home, everybody's going to be sound asleep. And so I asked Judy, reach in the glove compartment and take out the little Bible I keep there, and cut on the light here, and let's have devotions. We came down I-85 coming out of North and South Carolina with Judy reading the Bible by the car light there, and then our soon-to-be daughters-in-law with our family praying together. Folks, listen, your children are going to look at your life, and they're going to see if you're committed to this or not. They're going to look at your life and they're going to decide, is faith in God real to my father? Is faith in God real to my mother? And they're going to look at our walk, and that is going to determine what their walk with the Lord is going to be or what it's not going to be. Well, there are several others tonight, and we won't have time to look at those. But Deuteronomy 22 in verse number 8 tells us here about the battlement. It says, set the battlement around your roof. That's the ultimate roof doctor right there. Set the battlement, lest there be an accident there and someone fall from the roof of your home. And it's not only a principle about practicality there, it is a principle about how to live our lives and how to see God bless our marriages and God bless our relationship, parents and children, our home life relationship there.